This is Healthy Children with Melanie Cole and expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
Pertussis or whooping cough is less common in young children than it used to be, but because of the pertussis vaccine. However, we are seeing it, and then it starts to spread around a little bit, and it's quite scary if your child has ever had it. It has mine. My son had it. It was very scary. My guest today is Dr. Naveen Mehrotra. He's a pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So, Dr. Mehrotra, what is whooping cough, and who's at risk?
Well, I think anybody and everybody is at risk. So we need to be attuned to what is whooping cough and how do we go ahead and deal with it.
So tell the listeners what it is.
Well, whooping cough is something that people might know as the 100-day cough. It's a very scary type of a cough that, you know, this just doesn't go away. And we just don't know how to deal with it in that sense. So anybody who's having persistent cough with a lot of gasping in between that's been lingering on for weeks, those are the things that we would then think about whooping cough.
Well, when my son had it, and he's, 15-year-old boy, but he was crying. He said, "I can't breathe." And he said, "It was so scary last night, I thought I couldn't breathe," because they cough so hard. And the next cough comes before they've been able to take a breath. So what is causing this? Is this a pneumonia-like bacteria? And what do you do for it?
Well, there's a bacteria called Bordetella pertussis. And once it enters into your airways, it creates a lot of mucus, and it affects the airways in such a way that they get swollen and inflamed. And it produces that cough, which then you're trying to get the air into your lungs and trying to just get rid of all of these symptoms that you have. And based on the age of the person, so if you're a baby versus a young child versus an older child or an adult, the symptoms may vary. So if it's a baby, you really have to worry about a lot of serious sequelae, which can actually land you into the hospital. If it's an older person, it could just be a persistent cough. You could have a low-grade fever. You could have these coughing fits. You can have these issues with the breathing and that chest tightness, that chest pain that comes and comes and goes and comes and comes.
So when do you worry that you have to take them to the doctor, take them to the hospital, that something isn't right? What do you do for them?
So any baby that has suspicion of pertussis should be taken for an evaluation right away. Babies can present with what we call even apnea, where they stop breathing. They can have episodes of this cough, which they're not able to catch their breath. They can have complications, which can end up being pneumonia. And in about 1% of the cases that get admitted to the hospital, it can be lethal. So it can actually kill the baby. So it can be a very serious symptomatology that babies can have. Now, if it's an older kid, they might just have persistent cough, which is lasting maybe a few days, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So any cough which is severe enough to cause breathing difficulty in a child, which is coming in paroxysm, which is coming in these fits, needs to be evaluated by their pediatrician.
So this whooping sound, this is how it got sort of its name, right? It's this cough and the fever. Then what do? Antibiotics? Is this just the course of treatment? Are there any sort of co-treatments that we can do to do cough syrup? Does that help with our children?
Well, cough syrup is not going to do anything for it, and it's actually something that we would not recommend in any child under 4 years of age. So it's a lot of supportive care that we would advise. So if the child is having these coughing fits, giving them a lot of humidified room air, giving them steam, trying to make sure they're drinking lots and lots of fluids, and then just watching them and making sure they're not getting into any breathing difficulty.
Now, my whole family had to go on antibiotics, Dr. Mehrotra. My pediatrician gave them to the whole family, and we had to report this to the CDC. So why is that? Is it super contagious?
It is super contagious, and the antibiotics, what they will do is they'll decrease the symptomatology. They may not necessarily get rid of the infection, but they at least reduce the transmission from one person to the next. So since it is such a highly contagious disease, it does get reported. And it is something that needs to be tracked, because when epidemics are breaking loose, that's what the CDC will surveillance and give the proper guidance to the community.
So, Dr. Mehrotra, you know, it's a vaccination disease. It's a vaccine-preventable disease. However, we still see it. So is the vaccine, do you need a booster of pertussis? When do you give the pertussis vaccine, and how often might you need a booster? Because my daughter, who was 12 at the time, she did not catch it. But my son, 15, did.
So there is a vaccine that we use. It's part of the standard immunization schedule starting at 2 months of age. So all babies at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, then again around 15 to 18 months, and then 4 to 6 years of age, get the pertussis vaccine. It's something called the DTaP vaccine, which is comprised of the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis together, all in one. Then at 11, they get another booster, which is the Tdap, which is, once again, the tetanus and the pertussis vaccine combined. Now, in the olden days, we used to have what we call the wholesale pertussis vaccine, and that vaccine was a lot more effective, but the side effects were also there. And at that point, when the side effects were such great, you know, the risk-benefit ratio, it was decided to come up with this newer vaccine, which is not the wholesale vaccine. The vaccine is great, but the immunity wanes off very quickly. So you need to keep on getting the booster vaccine on that. So, you know, when you get the vaccine at 11, the booster vaccine, the immunity might wane off in about 3 years or so. Then at 15 or 16, when they're getting it again, that's why your 15-year-old got it and maybe not your 12-year-old. Because the 12-year-old probably had very good immunity, whereas the 15 was waning off.
Well, that makes perfect sense, because she had probably just received the vaccine not long before, and his was probably already waning off. Now, what about, I know you're a pediatrician, and we only have a minute and a half or so left. What about adults? Are we, can we catch it too? We went on the antibiotics, but as you say, that's just for symptom management or whatever. Are we getting pertussis vaccines as we're adults?
You should be, and especially it becomes critical during pregnancy. So as this newborn baby is coming around, they're at very high risk for complications. The recommendation is during pregnancy, the mom should go ahead and get the vaccine so that the immunity that she builds up can be transmitted to the baby when the baby's first born. And the other reason why adults should get it, more so if there's a baby that's going to be coming into the family, you don't want to transmit that to the baby, and as well as keeping yourself protected.
So give us the best advice about treatment and helping your child if they do get pertussis, and the best advice about vaccines.
So the best advice about vaccines is to maintain the vaccine schedule and not shy away from it. I know there are people who create anti-vaccine campaigns, but it's not in their best interest. So the vaccines should be taken at the timely manner, as recommended by your pediatrician. Now, in case you do get the illness, pertussis, make sure you get evaluated very quickly by your pediatrician. If you think there are signs of pertussis, definitely get evaluated by your pediatrician. And at that point, if you do have the illness, go ahead and get the aggressive supportive care. Drink lots and lots of fluids. Make sure your respiratory status, your breathing status is stable. And make sure that you are getting the proper follow-up that is needed to ensure that there's no complications that set in.
Thank you so much. What great information. Of course, this is from the American Academy of Pediatrics, our great friends here at Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.